Thanks so much, Steffi. Hey, everyone. I hope you're all doing well this evening. Today is the third week of our series in evangelism, the series that we've entitled Too Good Not to Share, where we're talking all about us as Christians sharing the gospel, sharing our faith with those around us. We started in week one talking about why it is that sharing the gospel is so important by looking at the Great Commission that Jesus gave us in the book of Matthew. And then last week, Daryl talked to us about being salt and light and what it looks like for us to share the gospel with our lives. And so this week, what I'm going to do is something a little bit different, but I'm going to take you through a little bit of what it can look like to share the gospel with our words. And when we think about that, when we think about actually sharing the gospel with people around us, it can seem like kind of an intimidating and scary thing to do. And I want you to think, what are some barriers and some fears that we face when it comes to actually sharing the gospel with people around us? I think one of the things that can worry us is wondering how people are going to respond to what we're telling them. How is it going to affect people's perception of us when they hear what we believe? We worry about people asking us questions that we don't know the answer to. We don't want to look silly not being able to answer people's questions. But I think one of the biggest challenges a lot of people face when it comes to actually sharing the gospel is just not knowing where to start or not knowing what to say. We're worried that we're not going to make any sense when we're trying to share the gospel with people. We're not quite sure what words to say when or how to share things in a way that people will be able to understand it. I'm worried that after we've shared the gospel with someone, that they're going to walk away more confused than before that conversation. And so it's specifically with that challenge in mind that I want to take some time with you today and share a really practical and helpful tool that you can use in sharing the gospel message with people around you. And like we've said a couple of times during this series already, we don't want what we're talking about here to just be theoretical or talking about these things just for the sake of talking about them. We want to be able to equip you, to give you tools like this that you can then take away and actually put into practice in your life, and actually take and use to share the gospel. And so this tool that I'm going to share with you, it's an incredibly easy to share thing. It's just a little diagram, something that can be drawn out in just a minute or two. And really all you need is just a piece of paper and a pencil. You could do it on a cue card. You could even do it on a sticky note if that's all you had on hand. You just need some form of paper and a pencil. And so I know that it was mentioned earlier that there was some notes that we sent out for this that may be helpful as I walk through this. But even if you're not the note-taking type, I know that I struggle a bit more to take notes as I'm listening to things. But I would encourage you to at least have a piece of paper and a pencil on hand so that you can sort of draw this out as I go through it with you. What I'm going to share is something that's called the three circles. And this is a diagram that I learned when I was working at a church in St. Catharines. And it's one that I actually had a chance to put into practice a number of times while I was there. Harbor had a door-to-door evangelism ministry that we would go out each week and we would take some time and actually share the gospel with people in our community. And so this is what I want to take you through today. I'm just going to share my screen here. And as I get started, there's sort of two things that I want to accomplish in sharing this with you. The first is I want to train you with this tool so that this is something that you can take away and use in having conversations with people in your own life. And the second thing that I want to do by sharing this with you is just take some time and slowly walk through the gospel message, reminding ourselves of just the fundamental element of the gospel, reminding ourselves of just how amazing Christ is and what he's done for us. Because the gospel, this isn't just something that we're meant to share with others. This is something that's meant to really deeply impact our lives as well. And so we want to be constantly reminding ourselves as followers of Christ about what he's done and the need that we have for him. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, Paul says, when he's talking about the gospel, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And so this message, it really is the very source of our lives. Paul calls it the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so it's so important to be training ourselves to share this with others and also reminding ourselves of its importance in our own lives. And so to start into this diagram, we start with this. Hold on. This little circle on the side here, this circle represents our world, but there's an issue. Our world has a crack in it. Our world is broken. And really, you don't have to go very far to see the truth in that statement. I mean, we're living in the middle of a global pandemic right now. If you turn on the news, if you go on social media, honestly, at this point, if you even step out your door, you're just bombarded by the truth of this, that our world is broken. Things in this world are not the way that they're supposed to be. And right off the bat, this is so important and key to our understanding of the gospel. Because in order to understand the gospel, we need to first understand that there's a problem, that something's wrong, that our world is not the way that it's supposed to be. Because you see, this broken world, this is not how God created the world to be. So we move over to this second circle here, and we put a heart into that circle. Because when God created the world, he created a perfect world full of love. A perfect love and relationship between him and us, and perfect love and relationship between humans, which you can see in the relationship between Adam and Eve. When God first created the world, he said again and again that what he created was good. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 tell us that story of the creation of the world. It tells us that each time God created something, he said that it was good. And then at the end of all of creation, once the work was finished, he declared that everything that he had done was very good. And so God created a perfect world. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 9 sort of describes just a little bit of that perfection for us. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And what a beautiful picture that is of a perfect world that was created so lovingly and crafted and ordered by our God. And this world, it was created by the word of his power, and it is entirely sustained by him. We see our issue is we don't live in this perfect world. We live over here in the brokenness. And so the question has to be asked, why is that? What went wrong that we're no longer living in this perfect world, in a perfect relationship with God, and instead living here in this brokenness? Well, we live in this broken world because every day, each and every one of us decides that we know better than God. We've decided to turn our back on him, to rebel against him, and live in disobedience to him. We've tried to do things our own way rather than following him. And that is what the Bible calls sin. And it's because of this sin, because of these choices that we've made to disobey God, that we live in this broken world today. Genesis chapter 3 tells us the story of Adam and Eve and their first sin, how they disobeyed the one instruction that God gave them. He told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because they disobeyed him, they ate the fruit. They had to face the punishment that he warned them of, which was death and separation from their perfect and holy God. That the relationship, the perfect loving relationship they'd once enjoyed with God, was broken by their disobedience. And Genesis 3 verse 8 shows us this. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So that relationship was broken. Adam and Eve, instead of enjoying a perfect relationship with God, had to hide themselves from him because of what they'd done. And you may look at that and think, well, that was Adam and Eve. That was what they did. But fast forward to today and you look, God's word, the Bible, it's full of God showing us how to live our life for him, how to live in obedience to him and follow him. And yet each and every day, each of us fails to actually live in obedience to God. Each of us fails to live up to that standard that's set. And so we cannot have that perfect relationship with God. We can't approach him because he is holy. He can't be near sin. And so as long as there is sin in us and sin is a part of us, we cannot be near God. That relationship cannot exist. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 lays out this problem. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single one of us struggles with this. Every single one of us has disobeyed God and now lives in this broken world. And so we recognize that this world, that our lives are broken. Again, like I said, you don't have to look far to see that. I don't think there are many people that you'd talk to today that would say, over the past 2 years of 2020 and 2021, that we're living in a perfect world. And so we see this brokenness and we want to do something about it. We don't want to stay here. So we try to fix this brokenness on our own, find some way to escape the brokenness that we're feeling, to fill the hole that we feel inside. And there's an endless list of things that we try to use to fix this brokenness that we think will make everything better. We think that, well, maybe if I just have enough money, then that will fix this brokenness, then that will make me happy. We think maybe if I just have the right relationship, then that will make me happy. Or if I just have the right career or power or status. And the list goes on and on and on. You could have sex, drugs, alcohol, pornography, so many different things that we try to use to escape this brokenness. But the issue with each of these things is that while they may seem to fix our brokenness for a time, and some of these things do seem to make us happy for a short time, some of these things that we pursue do seem to help in some way. But in reality, each of these things is just an idol in our heart. It's just something that we're putting in the place that God should be in our life. And so inevitably, each and every one of these things will end up acting like a bungee cord. They may seem for a little bit to get us out of brokenness, but eventually they will always pull us right back in. None of these things can ever actually fix the problem that we face. And so really, there is no way for us to fix this brokenness on our own. There's no way that we can solve this problem by ourselves. So really, that in essence is the problem that we and every single person on earth faces, that we live in a broken world, that we're separated from a perfect relationship with God because of our choices, because of our sin, and there's no way for us to fix this problem. And so because we're trapped in this brokenness, we have to deal with the consequences of our sin. We have to deal with the punishment that we deserve, which the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 is death. Says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so far, this doesn't seem like an overly hopeful message. And if this were the end of the story, I'd say every single one of us would be in pretty big trouble. But thankfully, this is the three circles and not the two circles. And our story doesn't end here. The second part of that verse in Romans, it begins and says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the second part says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Because you see, while we couldn't find a solution to this problem on our own, God, in his infinite love for us, provided a solution, provided a way for us to get out of this brokenness. And the way he did that was by giving us this little door here, this little way to get out of the brokenness that we struggle with. And that solution that he offered was his son, Jesus Christ. Because God sent his one and only son, Jesus, who came, he was born on earth, he lived life, he was fully man, he was fully God, and he lived a perfect life. He lived a life completely free of sin, completely free of disobedience and rebellion against God in a way that none of us ever could. He never sinned once. But we've just come out of Easter, so we know where this story goes. Because humanity hated him, we put him to death on a cross. He hung on the cross and he died there. And that was a death that he did not deserve. He did nothing to earn it. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But Jesus never sinned, so he didn't deserve the wages of sin. He didn't deserve to die on that cross. And yet he willingly took that death upon himself. He willingly submitted himself to death for us. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 to 6, give us a picture of what Jesus really did for us through his death. And it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And so Jesus, in his death, he willingly took on himself the punishment of death that we deserved for our sin, for our rebellion. And he paid that penalty in full. And again, his death, that's also not the end of the story. Because 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And in doing that, he showed that he had authority and power over death, and he had authority and power over sin. He utterly defeated them. And this whole story is summed up so perfectly in John 3:16, which is why it's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So that's the solution to our problem. That is the only possible solution to this problem of brokenness that each of us struggles with. We can't get out of this on our own. We can't fix our problem on our own. But God loved us enough to send his son, Jesus Christ, to be that solution for us. Because he's offered himself to pay the penalty that we deserved. And in doing that, he's given us an invitation. And that invitation is first to turn away from our sin, to turn away from our disobedience against God, and to put our trust in Jesus Christ, to make him the king of our lives, to make him the Lord of our lives. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, sum this up really well, where they say, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." We also see an example of this played out in the story of the woman caught in adultery that is recorded in the book of John. the story, the religious leaders bring to Jesus a woman who's been caught in adultery, and the punishment, the sentence for that act was death by stoning. And so Jesus said to the ones who were accusing her, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." And slowly the religious leaders, they gave up and they left, because none of them was without sin. But in John chapter 8, verse 10 to 11, we read these words. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." And that's such a powerful moment. Jesus told the people who were accusing her, "Let him who's without sin cast the first stone." Well, the only one who was there who was without sin was Jesus himself. He was the only one who could have cast that first stone as the one without sin. And yet he says, "Neither do I condemn you." And then he says, "Go, and from now on, sin no more." And that line is so important, because it shows that there's a need for a change to take place in our life. You know, we can't just go on living the exact same way that we have been. Once we've trusted in Christ, there's a responsibility for something to change, for us to turn away from that sin and disobedience when we trust in Christ. That's called repentance, literally to turn away from our sin, to follow him. And it's either one or the other. We can't do both. Either we're going to live our lives for ourselves and for our sin, or we're going to live a life for Christ. And that's the choice that Christ has given us in his death and his resurrection. And so when we make that choice to turn from our sin and to trust in Christ, what he does is he begins to change us, to transform us and make us into a new person. And he allows us to have, through his sacrifice, a restored relationship with God. The relationship that was previously broken because of our sin. And that doesn't mean that suddenly with one prayer we become perfect people and we're never again going to sin. I don't know about you guys, but I've been a Christian for close to 11 years now, and I've messed up plenty since the day that I gave my life to Christ. But the thing about Christ's sacrifice is that he has taken the penalty for our sins, that we're able to receive forgiveness for our sins through him. And once we've done that, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that means that God continues to work in our hearts, teaching us, helping us to become more like Christ every day, changing us more to be in the image of his Son. He makes us into a new person as we follow him. And so ultimately, the Bible tells us that every person is either in one of two spots. Either they've turned and trusted in Christ and they're being made new by him, or they're still trapped in brokenness. You know, Romans 6:23, it doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room or middle ground. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's one or the other. Either we accept that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ by trusting in him and giving our lives to follow him, or we pay the wages for our sin, which is death, eternal death and separation from God. And so in the question to ask at the end of all of this, as you see the gospel story played out in these three circles, the question to ask is, where are you? Where are you on this diagram? Are you here? Have you turned and trusted in Christ, and are you being made new by him? Or are you here still trapped in brokenness? And the second question to ask would be, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be here? And then the third and final question is there anything that's keeping you from turning and trusting in Christ today? And so in a nutshell, that's this three circles tool. And one of the things that I love about it is that it ends with those three questions. Where are you? Where do you want to be? And is there anything keeping you from putting your faith in Christ and trusting him and making him the Lord of your life? Because what it does is once you've explained the gospel message through these three circles, it opens the door for continuing conversation to happen after that. And I want to be clear that this tool, this isn't some magic trick or special formula that's going to make someone accept Christ. But what it does is it does walk through the gospel in a simple, understandable way that helps people sort of visualize what's going on. And it does open the door for more conversation to happen afterwards. And so where does that leave us? Today, here at Liberty Grace, where does that leave us? Well, first, for those of us who have turned and trusted in Christ, who have put our faith in him, seeing this should cause us to celebrate, to worship God because of what he's done, because of this amazing gift and the new life that we've found in Christ. Every time we're reminded of the gospel story, it should cause us to worship God, give him glory for the love that he's shown to us. And the second thing that it should do is it should encourage and remind us of the need to share this message with people, to share this message with anyone in our lives who will listen to us. It should put a burden on our hearts to know that anyone who's not trusted in Christ is still living in brokenness and will one day have to pay the penalty for those decisions. That should put a burden in our hearts. And that brings me back to the passage that was read at the beginning of the service from Romans chapter 10. I just want to read verse 14 and 15 again. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So think of all of those who are lost right now, who are lost in brokenness. Think of the need that they have for Christ. How are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? But you and I, we have heard of him. We have heard this message and we have felt the truth of this in our life. At least I hope you have. And this is something that we need to share. It's so, so important. And so I want you to think, who in your life could you share this with? Think about family members, neighbors, friends, coworkers, anyone that you're interacting with. I want to challenge you to take this and to share it with someone. When I'm done, I'm gonna post a video in the chat on the Zoom, a video of a pastor going through a much quicker version of this. It's actually the pastor who trained me with this tool. And he'll go through it sort of in the way that you would in just having a conversation with someone. And I would really encourage you to take some time, watch that video, practice drawing this out, get familiar with this tool, because it really is such a helpful way to walk through the gospel story for someone who's never heard it before. So can I challenge you, think of one person in your life that needs to hear this. One person who needs to hear the gospel, and then go out of your way to share it with them. And again, this doesn't answer every single question that people may have. And it's not a guarantee that once you've shared this with someone, they're automatically going to accept what you're telling them. But this is a way to start conversations, to get people thinking and begin to open some possible doors and communicate the gospel message with them. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, "Go and make disciples." And then he ended with saying, "Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded." So this here, really, this is just the first step. This is not this is not the end goal. Once someone trusts in Christ, it's not like our work is done and we walk away. There's a continuing relationship that exists there of teaching to obey all that Christ has commanded. And I want to just briefly look back on what Shar said at the very beginning of the service, that people tend to be a lot more open to this message than you would expect. Like I mentioned at the beginning, when I was at this church in St. Catharines, we would go out each week and we would just knock on people's doors. This was before COVID, when that was still legal. But we would just knock on people's doors, and when they would open it, we would tell them our name, that we're here from Harbor Fellowship Church, and we would just ask them, can we pray for you? That's how we would start the conversation. Can we just pray for you? And if they said yes, we would ask what they needed prayer for. And right there at their door, we would spend some time and pray for them. And then we would ask, can we draw this little diagram for you? Can we tell you this story? And then we would walk them through this. And generally throughout the entirety that I did this, and I did this for a number of weeks, many conversations I had with this. And I can't think of any who were actually hostile against us as we were trying to share this with them. And that doesn't mean that people won't ever respond that way, but people are generally much more open to this than you expect them to be. And so as I end, we've heard and we've been impacted by the beauty of this message, by the amazing truth of the gospel, of the life that we've found in Christ, the amazing gift that God has offered us. And now we have a responsibility to do something with it. And so I want to end with reiterating that challenge. Take this tool, learn it, get familiar with it, and then think of one person in your life, one person who needs to hear this. Take it and share it with them, and pray that God would be at work in their hearts, and that that we would see people trust in Christ, that we as a church would see people in our community trust in Christ as we share the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us in Christ. Lord, we recognize that each and every one of us is sinners, Lord, and we deserve to still be lost in a broken world. Lord, but you loved us enough to send your Son to offer us a solution to this problem. Lord, a way for us to have a restored relationship with you. God, that's a gift we could never deserve, and we're so humbled by your love and your mercy in that. And God, I pray for each and every one of us here that you would put on our minds, put on our hearts this week, one person in our life who needs to hear this message. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to have a conversation, to share the gospel with that person. And Lord, that you would guide us as we speak. Lord, that you would help our words to be clear and understandable. And God, we pray that we as a church would see people come to know you, that we would see people turn and trust in you. And Lord, that as we as a church go out and share the gospel with others, God, that we would see people in our lives, and that we as a church would see our community of Liberty Village transformed with the gospel. And we pray this in your name. Amen.